Hello, and welcome to the Young Hollywood Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Gomez, and in this episode, we are going to be talking about Lucasfilm and how I feel they've been handling their project since then. We'll be covering everything as far as Star Wars goes, as well as some of the latest news has emerged about Indiana Jones 5. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the episode. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast, episode 13. And as you can tell by the intro, we are going to be talking about Lucasfilm and specifically Star Wars and Indiana Jones and how I feel about the state of both of those franchises, as well as the news that have come from both of those franchises. We're going to be talking about the good, the bad, what I would hope from these in the future, and how I feel about the state of these properties as of right now. So, as you guys know, I'm a huge fan of both of those franchises, so this is going to be a very passionate talk, and when I'm very passionate about something, I go on a rant, and I do not care how long I'm doing this and how much time I waste, but I'm still going to try and be considerate, so I decided to give you guys a warning, as the majority of this episode is mainly going to be me going on a nerdy rant, so just bear with me and enjoy. You have been warned. So, for those of you who don't know, I have very mixed feelings about the Disney Star Wars films, as most people do, and an overwhelming majority of people don't like what Disney's done with the franchise. And where I'm at with that is, as far as I'm concerned, I like most of it. I mean, I don't think that I loved Force Awakens and I loved Rogue One, and then all of a sudden we got The Last Jedi, and that's kind of where it started to decline for me. Now, I enjoyed Solo, and I feel very bad that it didn't get as much of a it hasn't sat well for a majority of the fans. As I did think it was a good movie. It was a good cast, and the story was there, and I just think that the main problem with it was it wasn't a story that everybody wanted, and after The Last Jedi, everyone kind of tried to boycott this film, and I just feel like one of the biggest, another contributing factor as to why it wasn't so successful at the box office was because you're trying to release a Star Wars film in the same month as Marvel was releasing Infinity War. Their big, I don't even know what you can call it. Like you've had, 21 films leading up to that moment, and they're getting to that big moment. Like, this is, 10 years in the making. And then you got Star Wars, which is another big franchise that is telling a smaller story that no one really cares about. I also think that they missed what would have been a clever marketing thing. They could have released it on a Friday, on Star Wars Day, May the 4th be with you, as May 4th that year was a Friday. But other than that, I did like The Force Awakens. I liked Rogue One. Last Jedi is kind of where my opinions towards the movies kind of started to shift. Solo, I thought, was very good. And walking out of Rise of Skywalker, I had the same feelings as I did towards The Last Jedi. As The Last Jedi, when I first walked out of the theater, I thought I just witnessed the greatest Star Wars film in history. I thought it was just as good as Empire. Which, I don't care. I might get a lot of hate for that, but that's how I felt at the beginning. Then, as the months slowly started to go by, I started to pick up some flaws in the story, as well as its characters, and I started to hear some of the backlash it's gotten from fans, as well as the other types of criticism it's received over the years. And it's amazing how just one little film can change, so much. And people say that, but, this was the first time I've seen a film, change, on a big scale in, a negative way. This is the first time I've ever seen a film have an effect like that. As it just divided one of the biggest fan bases in the world, and in my opinion, one of the most toxic fan bases in the world. As after The Last Jedi, you had a lot of haters, and people just really didn't care about the story. Now, after about 2.5 years, hearing like everybody's opinions on it, my feelings towards the movie has kind of changed over the years, but I've still maintained like my like main like belief that like I don't like that movie. Like, that's my opinion. I don't like them. There are certain things that people have brought up that have made me appreciate some of the aspects of the movie, but overall, it doesn't do it for me. And one thing that I have with a lot of people was Luke Skywalker and Luke Skywalker's portrayal. Now, did I think Mark Hamill had a bad performance? No. I thought Mark Hamill had some, probably his best performance. I just feel like the source that he was given was not good. And I'm fine with what they wanted to do with Luke. I'm fine with Luke being a broken hero, kind of just not having faith in himself. I'm fine with that, because it doesn't make him a perfect character. And that's what so many of the Star Wars films try to do. They try to make the Jedi seem like they're almost like these godlike characters, but they're not. They're weak, and like everybody else, they're flawed. And I like that. I like that about Luke. And I'm fine with him having that opinion that the Jedi needs to end and all that. I'm fine with that. The only thing that makes me not like it, though, is the reason. So long as there's a good reason behind something, then I can get behind why they chose to do something with a character. And I'm fine with how they wanted to do it. But you're telling me that Luke just got a feeling that Kylo Ren was bad, so, oh my god, I gotta kill him? No, like, what was Luke seeing in Kylo's head? Like, that's another thing they could have done. You're getting a little too lazy, and you're just letting the dialogue do most of it. Don't. I want to see some visuals. I wanted to see what made Kylo, like, what did Luke see inside Kylo's head? Obviously, it must have been pretty bad, but we should have gotten a deeper backstory. I want to know what Luke was doing. I want to know what it was like for him when he was teaching a new generation of Jedi and stuff. I want to see that night that the temple was destroyed. I want to see how Kylo Ren turned. But they don't do that. And there's so many things that kind of just, I don't know, just go against what Luke kind of stood for over the course of the original trilogy. Because one of the biggest problems is, yes, he himself believes that he created the problem of Kylo Ren, but he doesn't want to man up and own up to the fact that he messed up, and he doesn't want to fix his mistakes. He just wants to leave him be while thousands, maybe millions of people suffer. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. I get that he feels bad that he created Kylo Ren, but he needs to understand that because of this, like, his actions have consequences. And that's the only thing that I did not like, was that he did not own up to his mistakes until the very end, which I liked. But either way, there needed to be a better reason for him to have that mindset that he had the whole movie, where it was just negative and down and out, and he wasn't optimistic. Now, I do give Rian Johnson credit. I will give him respect to the fact that he subverted people's expectations. He didn't do it, and he didn't do it in a necessarily positive way, but he did do it. You have to give him that. Because a lot of people were just expecting, like, how it was with The Force Awakens, that The Force Awakens was just going to be like A New Hope. Then The Last Jedi was basically going to be The Empire Strikes Back. And yes, was it kind of like The Empire Strikes Back? Yes, it was. You had the Resistance fleeing from the First Order and constantly on the run, just like how Han and all the other characters were in Empire Strikes Back. They were running from the Empire. The Empire had discovered their hidden base, and they're just fleeing all across the galaxy, just trying to survive. That's essentially what it was. Then you have a main character going to find an ancient or like a former Jedi master to train them.
Exactly.
Luke goes to Yoda. Rey goes to Luke. You got that. So there's still many elements that compare it to Empire Strikes Back. But overall, he subverts people's expectations, and everybody expected Luke to be like Yoda and be all wise and train Rey, but he didn't. Then you expect Rey's parents to be revealed. Turns out her parents were nobody. And then I'll get to that later, but and then the Rise of Skywalker kind of changed all that. And at first I thought it was cool, but now I think that having her be a nobody would have been a better option. But I'll get to that once we get to the Rise of Skywalker. I didn't have a problem with Rose. I thought Rose was a good character. It's just I don't feel like she fit with the story. I don't think it should have been her and Finn doing the mission. It should have been Poe and Finn doing the mission. Because that's one of my biggest problems, as well as a bunch of other people. We don't really get to know a lot about our main characters. And we don't get to see the main three together until the very last movie. And that's one of the biggest problems. You could have had a moment where Finn and Poe kind of develop their friendship, and you kind of get to see more of them and see their characters like evolve and get some depth, but you don't get that. Instead, you get Rose, which I have no problem with her. I just don't feel like she was necessary with the story. I like the actress who plays her. I thought she was fine. I just felt like her role could have belonged somewhere else, could have been put somewhere else in the story, or it shouldn't have been as big as it was. And I'll get, because, oh god. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is the only movie where you can just mention that movie's title, and it just, so many emotions, and so many different feelings towards it. Oh my god. Before I continue about the negatives, might as well go into the positives. In terms of visuals and how the movie looks, Last Jedi probably is the best looking Star Wars movie ever. Great visuals, the planets, just everything just looks, it's the best Star Wars visually. Now, is this film as bad as, wait, hang on. God, lost my train of thought. In terms of what they wanted to do with the story, I feel like it was fine. My biggest issues are the execution of how they wanted it to be done. The tone of this movie is all over the place, and even back when I liked this movie, that was one of the problems that I noticed, as whenever in a scene something's going down and a serious moment is about to happen, something happens, like a one-liner, or something happens that like totally shifts the tone. Like whenever somebody tries to be serious, a comedic one-liner is thrown into it, and it doesn't balance the tones. It keeps going from serious to comedy to suspense. It's just jumping all these different moods, and you don't really know what to feel. Like, the tone is all over the place. It wants to be as serious as Empire, and then it just totally shifts and becomes as childish as Return of the Jedi. And it's just like, well, what kind of movie are you trying to make? Like, you need to figure it out. Like, if you want to be serious, stay serious. Don't jump and switch tones every couple minutes. Pick a tone, stick with it for a period of time. There's a time and a place for jokes to be put in. It's fine. But that was one of my biggest issues with that movie, is that it has a huge tone issue, and I feel like it's jumping around too quick around the plot. Like, it's trying to juggle so many plots, and it's just, it's failing most of the time. Now, when we get to The Rise of Skywalker, again, for those of you who... I'll just skim over Rise of Skywalker, because for those of you who don't know, I did a full episode dedicated to The Rise of Skywalker, so just go to... exit out of this if you want to hear about it. Go through my podcast episodes. It's ironically titled Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So if you want to hear my in-depth review and feelings towards that film, go check out that episode. But I'll just tell you that one of my biggest problems with The Rise of Skywalker was it was too rushed. Like everybody else says, they're trying to cram two movies into one, because so many people dislike The Last Jedi that J.J. Abrams had to backtrack just to fix up its mistakes. In turn, you get a very rushed story. Now, there were some aspects of The Rise of Skywalker that I liked. I did like the fan service. A lot of people complained about the fan service, but I liked it. I thought it was good. The action was good. Again, Star Wars doesn't fail to deliver on action, as well as the music. The music's good. The only problem is that the story was rushed, and one of the story's main messages is kind of thrown out at the very end. Like how I've said before, where... whole message of that film, don't be ashamed of who you are and where you came from. Embrace your lineage. And then at the very end, Rey's like, that old lady comes to Tatooine and says, who are you? Rey. Rey who? Looks over at Luke and Leia's Force Ghost. Could have said Rey Palpatine. Nope. Rey Skywalker. What the hell? That's off to another thing. One of the things that does surprise me, though, is that out of all the characters in the prequel trilogy, I ended up liking Kylo Ren. I went from somebody who absolutely could not stand Kylo Ren to somebody who ended up loving Kylo Ren and having him be my favorite character of that trilogy. As in The Force Awakens, I thought he was super cool until he took off his helmet. And then he just started acting whiny. And just throwing fits all the time, every time something didn't go according to plan. Last Jedi was kind of toned down. Again, he's getting angry when Snoke is mad at him. He's very angry. He's very conflicted. And then The Rise of Skywalker, he finally gets his closure. He's finally able to come back to the light as Ben Solo. Now, I get that that's a very slim, like, brief summary of his character arc, but I do agree that he does have the best character arc out of this trilogy. That was one of my favorite scenes in The Rise of Skywalker, was when he's standing there looking at the ocean on Endor, and he sees that vision of Han Solo, and again, we have that nice kind of callback to the scene from The Force Awakens. But whereas in The Force Awakens he was surrounded by darkness, this one he's surrounded by light. He finally makes the change, he realizes the error of his ways, and he finally ultimately does what's right for the good of everybody. And that's really good, and he sacrifices himself so that good can prevail. And that's awesome. That was fine. That was one of my biggest things, was that... while I was happy that Kylo sacrificed himself and he closed out his arc, I was a little bummed that Rey kind of had to survive, because I would have been fine with Rey dying after she destroys Palpatine and takes in all that lightning. But of course, now that she's the main character, you can't kill off the main character. I would have been fine. I would have earned a lot more respect for Rey if she had done that, if she had sacrificed herself like that in the way that she did. Now, I like Rey. I'm fine with Rey. I have no problem with her. I think Daisy Ridley is an amazing actress. My only problem, just like everybody else, she's too powerful. And up until the Rise of Skywalker, we don't get really any reasoning behind it. And I don't even know where to begin. The things that I wish they would have kept, though, from The Last Jedi to The Rise of Skywalker, they should have kept Rey's parents as nobody. And in the way they did, they were like, no, your parents were... Kylo was right, your parents are nobody, but your grandfather was somebody. I was fine that they brought Palpatine back at first. Because it was, yeah, Palpatine. You want to see Palpatine. You want to see him quote all of his most famous lines and everything. But the only problem I had with it was that, again, we had no reasoning as to how he came back. Oh, actually, we did, because it was just recently confirmed through the novel version of the film that a clone of Palpatine was made, and Palpatine's spirit formed itself into the clone. What? That's not intriguing. That's just bad writing. That's just being lazy, but whatever. And then, again, we get no explanation. Palpatine's plan doesn't make sense. Only thing that I really liked about it was having the idea that he was the puppet master of all three trilogies. And the prequels, he's there from the beginning. He literally plots out the... essentially, the extinction of the Jedi. He's the head of the Empire, and he tries to convince Luke to turn to the dark side, but he won't. And ultimately, he's been plotting his revenge. He was there from the get-go. He planned the First Order. He essentially made Snoke. And he has this grand plan to finally get his revenge and have the Sith once again prevail over the galaxy. But... like I said with The Last Jedi, and this goes with the, for the prequels as well, it's all about execution. And that's the thing that's so hard about these movies, is even with the prequels too, the story that they want to tell is great, but it's just executed poorly, whether that's because the actors or the way the story was written. It's just crazy. And then you got Kathleen Kennedy, who does not know what to do with Star Wars. She absolutely does not know what to do whatsoever. She even admitted herself, they had no plan. They didn't plan out the trilogy at all. They were literally writing it as if they were going along. Whereas you have George Lucas, who literally wrote the original trilogy all in one script and realized, oh crap, this is way too big to make into a movie. I'm just going to cut it into three parts and then make the first part, worry about the other two later. Like, that's genius right there. And while he didn't write a script in that 70s, during the 70s and 80s, he did have the prequels line planned out in a way, too. He knew what he wanted to do from the very beginning. It had a very clear beginning and a very clear end. Now, that's one thing that I'll give the prequels, even though I don't really like them as much, but I'll get into that later, is that they were planned. And they do bring, they bring the, what once was, the saga, like, full circle. And I liked it. And that was one of the things that I didn't like about Palpatine coming back in The Rise of Skywalker, is it kind of ruins the whole point of Darth Vader, who finally makes the sacrifice, kills Palpatine for the good of the galaxy, finally comes back to the light as Anakin Skywalker, and in a sense fulfills the prophecy as the Chosen One. He did bring balance to the Force. And now that's just kind of ruined because Palpatine just comes back. Okay, just ruin a what's essentially a 6-movie story arc, but whatever. And then, oh god. Then she has the guts to go on record in one video saying that George Lucas has written some, given us very good story ideas for our sequel trilogy. And then during an interview for The Rise of Skywalker, when questioned about George Lucas writing the scripts for the trilogy, she denies that George Lucas gave them any ideas for the sequel trilogy. Like, what are you doing? And on top of that, she's trying to push all this agenda stuff. Which, that's fine if you want to do that, but you're just doing it in the worst way possible. And, ugh, that's like a whole nother thing, but whatever. Then she doesn't get along with anybody that she hires. There's so many creative differences between so many people and the projects that she's trying to get done. She's canceled so many projects. And then they wonder why no one wants to touch Star Wars. It's because as soon as someone gets in, there's a creative difference. And no one has the artistic freedom to create the story they want. Because Kathleen Kennedy is like, no, this is what you need to tell in this story. You do this. You strictly follow it. Go buy the book. And so many people don't want to do that. And in turn, they leave. And then she's scratching her head going like, why are so many people leaving? But that's the thing, though. I feel like she knows what she's doing. She just doesn't want to admit. And because of that, the company is just tanking. Now, recently, about a few days ago, Lucasfilm just released a video on YouTube talking about their next plan for Star Wars. Now that the Skywalker saga is complete, where can they take the story? And what they're working on is a story called The High Republic. And essentially what it is it's going to be set 200 years before the Skywalker saga. So 200 years before Episode 1. And it's going to talk about the galaxy at the height and of its power. The Jedi are at the height of their power. It's a lot more peaceful. And the Jedi are essentially, how they described it, Texas Rangers just overlooking each planet and dealing with the outlaws on the outer rim, on the outskirts of the galaxy. That's cool. That's a good story idea. But I hope that they're not going to mess that up. Here's what bothers me. They're putting more time and effort into... That's the thing. They haven't even announced films for that era yet. They're just focusing on comic books. And it's kind of scary when they're putting more time and effort into their comics than they are for their movies. As far as the TV shows go, they're doing a decent job. Clone Wars Season 7 has been pretty great so far. And coming from somebody who hates the prequels, I have a lot more respect for the Clone Wars era now because of that cartoon. Because I've avoided that cartoon for so long because I don't like that era because of how I feel about the prequels. Having recently rewatched most of them on Disney Plus, I like the Clone Wars era. I don't like the prequels, but I like the Clone Wars cartoon. I like that era because, again, it's executed perfectly. Maybe not perfectly, but way better, leaps and bounds better than how the prequels ever did it. I actually like Anakin Skywalker in this because he's not Hayden Christensen and he's not whining all the time. I buy into Anakin and Padme's relationship. I like Obi-Wan. I like all the characters in that. It's just, and Mandalorian, great show. Awesome. Obi-Wan show's coming out in a couple of years. Can't wait for that because Obi-Wan was one of the few aspects of the prequels that I actually really enjoyed and actually still like. This is crazy. Star Wars has no roadmap. They don't know what they're doing. Kathleen Kennedy doesn't know what they're doing. And she ultimately just doesn't know what you're doing. You have to give her credit, though, since she made those Star Wars movies. She's made 5 Star Wars movies. And in those 5 movies, 4 of them have made over $1 billion at the box office. The lowest one being Solo, coming in at $330 million, I believe. But still... She just does not know how to handle the company. And I don't know what George Lucas was thinking. George Lucas is probably having many regrets right now, which is why he's probably not involved in any of the Star Wars projects. That's why he's not invited to any of the premieres. And it's just, it's sad, as I'm not that enthusiastic about the franchise anymore because it's been so... It's just had a really bad track record. Now, granted, I still get excited about it, but it's not near to the level of excitement that say I'd have if this was 5 years ago when The Force Awakens or Rogue One was coming out. I was over the moon. Now I hear all the Star Wars news and I'm just tired because the majority of it is negative. And I hate hearing negative things about it because it's meant to bring joy and entertainment to so many people. That's what it did to me when I was little. And right now it's barely doing that. Aside from the TV shows, I could care less about the movies. I'll say it. I don't care about the movies. I feel like the TV shows are the future of the franchise now. Because I feel like there can't be good Star Wars movies anymore. And want to start some controversy? There hasn't been a good Star Wars movie since 1983. A great Star Wars movie since 1983. Not all the Disney Star Wars movies are bad. But I'm ultimately disappointed in what they chose to do with the sequel trilogy, as I was very pumped and excited, and that's why it's so difficult watching The Force Awakens. As I remember being excited, thinking about where they could go with the franchise and what they could do with it, and where these characters are going to go. But in the long run, I'm ultimately bummed out on what they did with the story and how they divided the fans as well as the actors. And you think it could only, and want it to get better, but this is going to bring me into my next topic. Indiana Jones. And its current state. And that should ultimately be the least of their worries, as right now, they really have no direction. I mean, aside from the TV shows, they don't have any movies planned out. And I don't think they're really going to get any done within the next 5 years. Because so many people are dropping out of these projects altogether that it's like, what's the point? And a big change needs to come to that company if they want to expect the fans to be pleased again and be satisfied with a Star Wars movie. Now, I'm not dissing on the movies. Like I've said before, there are some good ones, but the overwhelming majority of them are pretty bad. Now, as far as the TV shows go, that's where I ultimately see the future of the franchise. I think that altogether, Lucasfilm should just be done with putting Star Wars on the big screen. Now, I get it. The general viewer is not going to want to go and pay for a subscription service just to watch brand new Star Wars content. I get that. But I ultimately see, in the long run, that's going to be the best fit for the franchise. As with a movie, you're confined to telling a story for about 2 to 3 hours. Whereas with a TV show, you can tell multiple stories over the course of like 20 to 25 episodes. Okay, maybe not that length, but like even just miniseries, like about 10 episodes, 10 to 12 episodes. You could do it like that. It's worked. I mean, come on. Mandalorian was great. Star Wars The Clone Wars, it's in its second episode right now of Season 7. So far, it's great. There's 10 more episodes left, and I can't wait to see where it goes. And this is coming from somebody who does not like the prequels whatsoever. But I do like The Clone Wars, because unlike the prequels, they execute it right. I actually care about Anakin. He's not Hayden Christensen. He's not being all whiny and stuff. Obi-Wan's great. You finally get to see a relationship between him and Anakin. We finally buy into the relationship between Anakin and Padme. It makes sense. There's chemistry there, and it actually works. I like the actors in The Clone Wars. They're very great, and they bring a whole lot of life to the characters, and they make me respect the characters that I once did not like. And the whole reason why I've avoided that cartoon for so long was because I was not a fan of the Clone Wars era because of those movies. Now I could say that that's changed. I love the Clone Wars era. I love it. Just simply because of that cartoon. It makes it so much better, and it does such a good job filling in the gaps between 2 and 3. Because I feel like that was ultimately their biggest problem, was that the prequel trilogy didn't really go too much into detail about their biggest conflict. The one that they've been literally talking about since the first one back in 1977, where Obi-Wan keeps talking about the Clone Wars. That's their big event, and yet you only get to see tiny glimpses of it, because by the end of episode 2, the Clone Wars began, And then by the beginning of episode 3, the Clone Wars are coming to an end. And there's so much stories to tell. Like, so many, like, to tell. And the show does it perfectly. I love the characters that they add to that show. I love Rex. I'm loving the Bad Batch right now. They're probably one of my favorite characters in Star Wars. Ahsoka Tano, awesome. I love her. She's an awesome Jedi. She's a great character. I even loved her in Rebels. Granted, Rebels is not as good as the Clone Wars, but I enjoyed it. Mandalorian's great. I love the story. I love the time period. I'm glad that they're exploring another gap in the Star Wars timeline, as between 6 and 7, there's about 30 years. So you have about 30 years worth of stories to tell within that part of the timeline. And that's great. I love the actors that are all involved in it. It's very good. I like how they balance practical and special effects. I think that's great. That's the one great thing that I liked about the sequel trilogy as well, was that it wasn't entirely CGI. They actually did do some practical effects and mixed it with CGI, which I liked. And that's how they should all be done. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, love them. They're doing a great job. Jon Favreau did a great job writing all the stories for that show. They knew exactly what they wanted, they knew exactly what the fans wanted, and they delivered in the best possible way. And I'm proud of them for that. And I ultimately can't wait to see where the story's going to go with Season 2 coming up in October of this year. So we'll have to see where it goes from there. But ultimately, I'm happy with the TV show so far. And then in a couple of years, we'll get Obi-Wan. Ewan McGregor is coming back as Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I'm thrilled, as he was one of the few aspects of the prequels that not just me, everybody enjoyed, I'd say. As he, even with what he was given, he did the best of his ability. You buy into the fact that he's eventually going to grow into Alec Guinness, the original Obi-Wan. And he ultimately does a great job, and I'm excited to see where they're going to take this story, because I definitely... That's something that I have been wanting to know, as I'm a fan. As far as I go with the source material, I just go off the TV shows, the movies, and the video games. I don't really read the comics, and I know that there's several stories talking about Obi-Wan's time on Tatooine. But ultimately, I'm excited to see what he was doing in those 19, 20 years. Because I feel like it's a good opportunity. We can expand upon his character. We finally get to see, like, maybe he'll be, like, damaged by the events of Revenge of the Sith and everything. Maybe we'll get some nice flashback scenes. We'll have to see. I am a little bummed out, though, because I was hoping that he'd get to fight Darth Maul, but that pretty much already happens in Rebels by the time Obi-Wan's already an old man. So I was kind of bummed out in that aspect that the Rebels already did that, because I really would have liked to see him fight Maul again, and what I would like to have been the last time, because I feel like that could have been a really neat thing to see. But we'll have to see where they go with this story. I'm very excited. Everyone else I know is very excited about this, so we'll have to see where it goes. But ultimately, that's where I feel like Star Wars belongs right now. I feel like it belongs on the small screen, because there are so many stories to tell, and they have the technology and they have the money to make it a movie on a movie level budget with movie grade special effects and everything. They have everything at their disposal, so I feel like they have millions of stories to tell for Disney Plus. It's great for them because they're making good Star Wars content. It's good for Disney Plus because it's getting more original content. You're going to convince more people to buy into the streaming service. And ultimately, it's just going to make fans happy again. And hopefully one day I can hop on YouTube one day and see a Star Wars thumbnail that's positive and not negative. But only time will tell, and we'll have to see where that goes. And this brings me to my next topic, Indiana Jones 5. In 2016, Disney announced that they would be working on an Indiana Jones 5, with Harrison Ford to star in it, once again, as Indiana Jones, and Steven Spielberg to come back and direct it. And this would serve as the final chapter in Indy's story. Now, at that point, Harrison Ford was just coming off of Force Awakens, and Harrison Ford was about 74, I believe. And this project was originally supposed to come out on July of 2019. Now it's March 1st, 2020, and as of right now, they haven't filmed a single thing. Production has been halted multiple times due to production issues as well as script issues that they're trying to fix. And about a week ago, not even a week ago, almost a week ago, it was announced that Steven Spielberg dropped out of the project. He would still serve as executive producer of the film, but he would not be in the director's chair. And that it was in talks that director James Mangold would take over the story. And the reasoning behind this that they stated was that Steven Spielberg thought it was time to pass the whip to a new, younger filmmaker to help tell the story of Indiana Jones to a younger generation. Which I don't buy into that one bit. I think the real reasoning behind it is simply he doesn't want to do it. He's done with the character, and it's ultimately Disney and Kathleen Kennedy pretty much just forcing him to make this film, and I bet that he didn't want to do it. Because I know that he knows that a lot of fans were disappointed by the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I mean, I am not nearly to the level as most people, as I do still find it an enjoyable and a very watchable film. But when you compare it to the trilogy, it's not that good. Now, the actors in that film are great. I believe it's just the writing, but still, I believe he knows that after Kingdom of the Crystal Skull didn't do too well, I believe he was a little skeptical and a little scared to come back, which is reasonably so. And I think that Crystal Skull kind of ended Indy's story right there. They finished his adventure, he finally got to marry Marion, and they go off and they live happily ever after. And it's fine, the story is over. So I don't really know what else they could do with that story, because again, these films play into time. So by the time Crystal Skull came out in 2008, it had been 19 years since The Last Crusade. And they do that in the film, as Last Crusade takes place in 38 and Crystal Skull takes place in 57. So it lines up with the time perfectly. So 19 years. If they do eventually end up making this film, and they do that same thing, that would mean it's coming out 13 years after Crystal Skull, which that would mean that Indiana Jones 5 is going to take place in 1970. Which we're going to have to see how that's going to go. I don't really know what Indy could be up against. The Nazis are long gone. Sure, the Cold War is still a thing, but is he really going to go off like. Is he gonna venture off someplace and go fight the Russians again? We'll have to see. And what's the artifact that he's gonna go after? And what's the storyline that he's gonna go after? Now, if James Mangold ends up taking over as the director, I see them doing, again, if there are people out there who don't know who James Mangold is, he was the director behind Copland with Sylvester Stallone in the 90s. Then you got Walk the Line, which came out in about 2004, 2005, and that was the Johnny Cash biopic with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. And he also did 310 to Yuma with Christian Bale, Russell Crowe, and took over the Wolverine films, both The Wolverine, which is a good movie, and Logan, which is an amazing movie, which is, in my opinion, one of the greatest superhero movies of all time. So if he takes over, I see him doing a Logan style Indiana Jones, where everybody Indy loves is gone, has either passed away or moved on to a different phase of their lives, and Indy's kind of alone, and Indy's lonely, and he doesn't really want to live much anymore, until something's probably gonna happen that's gonna draw him into one last adventure. And it's ultimately going to be his last, either by him completing the adventure and hanging up the hat and the whip and giving it to somebody else, Or if they have the guts and they want to try this, they'll probably kill him off in some sort of heroic way. Now, I don't think Harrison Ford will let them do that, but we'll have to see. And that's really all I could see that story going to. But if you're telling me that Steven Spielberg, the director behind the entire franchise and practically like the co-creator of that character, you're telling me that he wants to drop out, there must be something going on behind the scenes that's causing him to do that, because there's got to be some issues if you've pissed off Steven Spielberg. And it's just my guess. Maybe it's Kathleen Kennedy. Maybe she's pushing him to make a film that he doesn't want to make, which ultimately I think he is. I think he's just done. He wants to move on to different projects. And if we're being honest, Steven Spielberg really hasn't done much in the past decade. I think I can only remember two films that he's done. And I mean, aside from that, most of the films that he's worked on in the past 10 years have been as executive producer. That's what he's doing. I feel like he doesn't want to direct too much movies now. I mean, he is getting up there in age, and I get it. I get that maybe he doesn't want to slow down, but as of right now, I think he just wants to focus on producing. I think he wants to take a break from the director's chair for a little bit, because that is a lot of pressure, and that is a lot of work. But ultimately, I've kind of lost faith in this project. And I mean, it's really one that no one wanted or anticipated. As, I mean, I remember hearing about it in 2016 and then finding out that it was coming out in 2019. I can totally forgot. I'll be honest with you guys. I forgot that it was supposed to come out in July. I didn't keep up with it because I didn't care. I didn't think it was going to be that great. Because, I mean, it's not Harrison Ford's fault, but he's getting up there in age. And maybe part of the reason why I felt like Indy 5 might have a chance of working is because Harrison Ford was still able to pull off Han Solo in The Force Awakens. And he was like in his mid-70s at that point. But ultimately, I feel like just cancel the project, because inevitably they're just gonna reboot it. I mean, let's just put it out there. Disney is ultimately wanting to reboot the franchise, which no one wants, because no one's gonna accept that. And Harrison Ford himself admitted that he didn't want to see that, because he's Indy. No one else can be that role except him. So yeah, I'm a little bummed out that I might never get to see that project, because the main reason why I was excited for this project was because I wanted to know what it felt like to see one of these movies in the theater. I was alive when Crystal Skull came out, but I was very young, and I don't remember if I went to see it in the theater. I don't think I did. But that was one of the main reasons. I wanted to experience one of those films in the theater. And I wanted to, I don't know, just see what it was like. I wanted to be just captivated by what was going on screen and see what kind of story they could come up with, because maybe they've learned from their mistakes from the fourth one and they're going to try and make the best film possible. We'll have to see. But ultimately, I'm just done. I think that they should just ultimately leave it alone. It's done. It had its beginning, it had its middle, and it had its end. And I think that they should just ultimately, like, I mean, it's bad to say give up, but they should just ultimately cancel it. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe James Mangold can pull off a story that's really great. I'm willing to give this project a chance. If it ends up being made, I'll go see it. I will. But something tells me that if Spielberg leaves, then it's probably likely that Harrison Ford's going to leave, and I wouldn't be surprised if within the next week or two, I'm going to see a YouTube video that says Harrison Ford out of Indiana Jones 5, Indiana Jones 5 canceled. I wouldn't be surprised if I saw something like that. And that's just how sad it is. Like with Star Wars, just no passion is being put into these projects and into these franchises that people care so deeply about. And it's
very hard, but I'm still going to try to remain optimistic. I'm still going to try to enjoy these films. So, all in all, we can just wish for the best. Alright guys, well that is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys bared with me as I went on a super nerdy rant. But just know that I am passionate about this franchise, and I just want what's best for it. I want what's best for Star Wars. I want what's best for Indiana Jones. As these are great characters, they are great stories, and people should get to enjoy them. Questions, let's see. A lot of people have been wondering when I release my episodes, so I'll just put this out there right now. I release two episodes of this podcast a month. I release one on the first Sunday of the month, and then the second one on the last Sunday of the month. So that's when you guys can expect it. I typically try to drop these videos as early as possible. Sometimes that might not be the case. I might upload late one Sunday, or I might even upload right at midnight. It really just depends on what's going on. But for the most part, I do upload two videos a month on Sundays. So that's when you can expect it. This next episode, episode 14, should drop on the 30th of this month. As far as my website goes, that's still a plan that I have. I'm just keeping it in the back pocket right now, as it's not really my priority. But I am going to work on it. Hopefully we can get it done and completed by the end of this year, but that's just a... It's not a set goal, but hopefully we can get a majority of it completed this year and possibly launch it, if not this year, then early next year. As far as my projects go, I am in the process of writing the second episode for my Twilight Zone fan series, and that's where majority of my focus is going to be project-wise and film-wise, is I'm going to be working on the Twilight Zone fan series. I don't have a set release date for the episode, but you can expect it sometime in mid to late March at the most. Other projects that I've been considering, a fan film. I can't really say what it is. I'll let you guys know whether I decide to make this or not, but I've been kicking around the idea of doing a fan film for something, and I have to see where it's gonna go, because I ultimately don't know whether I'm gonna do it or not. Another thing that I've been thinking about is potentially maybe working on a documentary and hopefully releasing it sometime in the summer. I'm still talking with my friends about it, whether they want to do it or not, but if it does end up being made, it is ultimately going to be a documentary about my love of filmmaking, and it's essentially going to be us documenting our filmmaking journey with Mag Films and seeing where the channel can go and where this journey is going to take us over the course of about 4 to 5 months, maybe 6 months at the most, maybe a late summer release. I've been thinking about doing that. But ultimately, yeah, that's what I'm focusing on project-wise, is the Twilight Zone. In the very early stages of working on a fan film, wondering if we'll be able to do that, and currently working on the idea of doing a documentary. So that's what I'm doing project-wise. Other than that, there's nothing else going on. But with that being said, thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate every single one of you who click on these videos. Whether you're listening to this, or whether you're watching the video on my YouTube channel, I appreciate every single one of you. As always, have a great day, and I'll see you guys next time. Thank you.